Welcome to today's Living in Christ radio program. I'm Leon Steele, and we're glad you can join us today in our continuing study of God's true word, which he has given to mankind in the scriptures through his son, Jesus Christ, so that everyone could hear from God himself in his eternal words and truth of the one and only way by which man can be rescued from death and receive completely new eternal life. Now, I'm going to be quoting a number of scriptures today where God, through his son Jesus Christ, tells all who will hear of God's complete truth of salvation for his people. And I'll also be quoting the book, the Bible, chapter and verse, so that you can make notes, or if you like, we'll be glad to send you a completely free CD copy of today's program for your own use in studying the word and truth of God's salvation. So at the end of today's study, I'll give you all our contact information so you can request this completely free CD copy for your own use. I want to begin by looking at a major problem that I'm sure most genuine, sincere Christians recognize and are concerned about. And that difficulty is, how can we as Christians, as people who are born with a spirit and nature of sin and enmity towards God, how can we be saved from death and receive new eternal life in the holiness and righteousness of God? And I'm speaking here, of course, to the people of the single largest religion in the world, which includes everyone who professes themselves to be a part of Christianity and a part of the Christian faith. Now, this claims an enormous following of more than 2 billion people worldwide. That's nearly one-third of the Earth's total population who claim to be followers of Christ, and so are called by his name, Christians. Now, the term Christianity implies that all Christians are under the single umbrella of Christ, and therefore it means that they all function together as one church, having the same truths, the same beliefs, and the same doctrines, teachings, and practices. However, it is patently obvious that Christianity is not one church. It doesn't have all the same beliefs. It doesn't have the same teachings, the same doctrines, and the same practices. In fact, studies show that there are 37 million Christian churches worldwide and 34,000 Christian denominations. Now, we're all aware, we know that each denomination is distinguished and set apart from other denominations and churches by their name, and also by their beliefs, by their doctrines and traditions and customs and organization and so forth. So we know, as a factual matter, from many, many decades of research conducted by groups such as the Pew Research Center and others, that many, maybe most, of our Christian churches and denominations, as well as individual Christians, have come to believe that there is more than one truth and that there's more than one way of entering into the life and kingdom of God. That belief that multiple ways and paths exist by which Christians may enter into the kingdom of God is clearly seen in the great number of diverse and distinct Christian beliefs, teachings, traditions, doctrines, and practices that simply are not found in God's word. That is, they're not found in his teachings and in his doctrines in the Bible. There are also many Christian doctrines and teachings which say that a loving and just God will not allow good people to perish, but instead that God will have mercy and will save everyone who will just confess the name of Jesus Christ, who will also live a good moral life and do good works, that they will be saved. Again, though, the scriptures will show us that absolutely is not true. The problem for Christians is that our inborn sinful nature leads us to believe that we must concentrate on doing good works to gain God's approval in order to make ourselves eligible to receive his salvation. However, God himself tells us that nothing could be further from the truth. So, for that reason, today we're going to look at two requirements Jesus says are absolutely necessary for anyone to be rescued from death and to receive completely new eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, there are also many in Christianity who believe and teach that salvation will be granted to all people who sincerely profess their allegiance to Christ and who believe in and strive to follow the doctrines and traditions of their particular church and who call themselves Christians, and that God will save them from death and give them eternal life. Interestingly enough, the Jews and Israelites also believed that they would be given eternal life simply because they believed there was a God and that they were his chosen people, even though they continuously disobeyed him. But in the same way, much of Christianity believes that just being called as a Christian will save them. There is an insurmountable problem with all of that, though, and the problem is this, that God nowhere has ever given permission or authority to any person or group of men or churches to teach as his truth any precepts, traditions, or doctrines except for his word. Even Jesus, who is the only begotten Son of God, who is both Savior and Lord, taught only what the Father had instructed him to teach, as we will see. Regardless of what is believed and taught by the different religions of the world, Christianity included, it is the God of the Bible who has always existed and who planned and created everything that exists. So God alone knows and speaks all truth and has caused that truth to be written in the words of the Bible for his people. The Word of God encompasses everything from the beginning of his creation of the heavens and the earth and of all life that exists. And the scriptures also are the only true and complete record of all that that can be known of the past, that has prophesied all things taking place in the present now, and that tell us of God's truth of all that is still to come as he completes his plan for creating and building for himself an eternal kingdom of spirit beings who are being made in God's own image and likeness. All of that has been made possible by the Creator God who became the man Jesus Christ. In his earthly life, in giving his human body as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, and in his death, in the resurrection of his body, Jesus provided everything needed for man to be rescued from our natural state of sin and death into which we all were born, and thereby enter into the eternal life of God in Christ Jesus. Listen now to what Jesus tells the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews who were questioning the truth and authority of his words and doctrines because they saw Jesus as only an ordinary man, and therefore they considered him to be unqualified to teach them. But listen now as Jesus answers them for their questions. In John chapter 7 and verse 16, "So Jesus answered them and said, 'My teaching is not mine, but his,'" and he's speaking here of God the Father, "'but his who sent me,'" and in John chapter 14 and verse 10, he says basically the same thing. Jesus asked them, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." So today, we're going to look at the words of God himself stating exactly what he says is absolutely required for a person to be saved from death and given new eternal life in Christ Jesus, in the kingdom of God. Now, I know many Christians may say things like, "Well, our beliefs, our doctrines and teachings are based on what our fathers, the denominations, their denominations and their churches have believed and taught as God's truth for hundreds and hundreds of years." And not only that, but many say, "Well, we've studied our Bibles and have reached our own conclusions, and we're satisfied that our doctrines and beliefs will bring us into the salvation and acceptance of God. Now, I'm not saying these things to judge in any way the beliefs and doctrines of Christian churches and people. Even Jesus himself did not judge anyone while he was here on the earth. So it does not matter what those before us believed or what you and I may think and believe to be true, because only the words of God given to us in Christ Jesus have the power to save us from death and give us eternal life. You know, almost all Christian teaching sounds good and right, or no one would believe it. So of all the different Christian doctrines and teachings in Christianity, how are we to know, how are you and I individually to know what is true and what is false? So let's look at what Jesus tells his disciples and us in John chapter 12 and verses 46 through verse 50. And this is all about knowing his truth. John chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Verse 47, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus will judge everyone on the last day, but that was not his work at that time, nor is it his work now. His work still is salvation. Verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. We will look at some more of the words Jesus spoke in a moment. But verse 49 now, he said, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment, that is his word, as to what to say and what to speak. Then in verse 50, he says, I know that his commandment. Now, his commandment doesn't mean just one of the Ten Commandments. It means all of the words that God had taught Jesus. He said, I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. So I want to turn now to where Jesus is teaching his disciples and a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus. And he's teaching them here, and especially about this, the one thing that is absolutely required for anyone to be saved from death and enter into the eternal life of God in his kingdom. Now notice this in verses 3 and verse 5, that no actions of men are required in being born again. We had no part in being born of Adam, being born into this world of man, nor do we have any part in our being born again, this time born of the Spirit God. And the second thing that is required to enter into the kingdom of God is found in John chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jesus said to his apostles, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So the first thing is that we must be born again to see and enter into God's kingdom. And the second thing is that the new life that a person is given in Christ Jesus must be lived then according to the spirit and nature of God who dwells within all who are born of God as his children. But the first thing that must take place for our salvation is found, and I'm going to begin here in John chapter 3 and verse 1. Here, Jesus is visited by a man named Nicodemus. He had questions, evidently. So in verse 1, we're told, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling council of the Jews. And not only that, but Jesus later refers to him as being the teacher of the Jews' old covenant religion, which was still in effect at that time. John chapter 3 and verse 2, this man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. Now, Jesus had come into the world of man as the long-awaited Messiah and Savior. But the leaders of the Jews had opposed and rejected Jesus and his great miracles, his teachings, and they had accused him of being a fake and a false prophet. For no one, Nicodemus said, can do these signs, these miracles of healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding thousands from practically nothing that were impossible. Nicodemus said, no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. But listen now to these all-important words of Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that statement of Jesus, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, is the eternal truth of God concerning his salvation. And it remains as true today for us as it was then for them. Continuing on in John chapter 3 and verse 4, Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? He had no idea of what Jesus was trying to tell him when he said that you must be born again. And he says, he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Of course, Nicodemus knew that being born again of a woman was totally impossible. But Jesus was speaking of receiving the spirit life of God by being born again, this time born of God as God's own spirit child. In verse 5, Jesus tries to explain more of this to Nicodemus, who was truly flustered with it all. Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say. And let me just say here that when Jesus uses the words I say, he is speaking with the authority of God, with all the authority of God, because he not only was man and is man, he is also God. So he's speaking here the words that God had given him to speak to all of us. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, verse 5 is not a change in any way from verse 3. Rather, in verse 5, Jesus reiterates and reinforces verse 3. And he goes on to explain then in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, Jesus says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This statement of Jesus in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, Jesus says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, this statement of Jesus is complete. There's nothing else that can be said about that. Flesh always is flesh. Spirit always is spirit. So what Jesus is saying stands totally on its own unarguable truth, that flesh can never beget anything but flesh. And he goes on to explain more of that. He says, that which is born of the flesh, that's mankind, is flesh. That's what we are. And Jesus says it will never be anything other than flesh. Now, I know that most of us have seen science fiction movies and read stories of women having babies that turn out to be demon spirits or some other such fantasy. But Jesus says that flesh can never beget or produce anything but flesh. And in like manner, he says, that which is born of spirit can only be spirit. It can never be anything else. No doubt most Christians have heard it talked about that God will cause our fleshly bodies to become physically perfect in the resurrection. However, the scriptures tell us that the people born of God, who is spirit, are born as new spirit beings who are the children, the spiritual offspring of God. Now, in the resurrection of the old bodies of flesh, God's saints will be given new spirit bodies like that of Jesus when his body was resurrected. But God's kingdom in heaven is a spirit kingdom, and nothing of flesh can enter there. as I said, flesh can never give birth to spirit, just as spirit never gives birth to flesh. Nicodemus didn't understand any of that. Because Jesus is speaking of spiritual things, Nicodemus could only think in human terms. But Jesus said that which is born of flesh always will perish. It's going to die. And even the body of Jesus himself died. But it was resurrected and changed to a new spirit body, as will happen to the bodies of all who are born of God. So, that which is born of the Spirit lives forever. Nicodemus, who was the teacher of Israel's old covenant religion, had not really understood much of what Jesus said. And in John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, and he said, "Do not be amazed," says Jesus, "that I said to you, you must be born again." And Nicodemus should not have been amazed, as he obviously was, at Jesus saying, "You must be born again to see and enter the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus knew, as humanity always has known, that the only way any person, with the exception of Adam and Eve, who were created by God, but everyone else has entered into this world and kingdom of the man Adam, whom God created, everyone else has entered by being begotten of the seed of Adam and born of a woman as the descendants of Adam and into this world and kingdom of man. And we all know that to be an indisputable fact. In verse 8, Jesus explains to Nicodemus about the Spirit. He said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The people born of the Spirit are spirit beings. They're invisible to the eyes of mankind, yet their new spirit life exists in these bodies of flesh where they continue learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in the new life. And they produce the spiritual fruits of righteousness until the body dies or Jesus returns to gather his people together. So being born again is not merely a pleasant saying, but it is, in fact, the reality of Jesus Christ himself, as we see in the following verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. These are some verses that talk about having been born again or being born again. And I just want to read a few of them so that we understand what Jesus is talking about here and what has happened to those people who are genuinely believers in God and who follows Jesus Christ. But he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It was God who caused us to be born again. He didn't do it because of anything that we have done or are going to do. He has done it because of what we'll read. You have been born again, he says, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. He says, "If you know that he," and he's speaking of Jesus, "if you know that Jesus is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." Now, in all these verses that I'm reading here, he's talking to people that have been born again, that are the spirit-born people of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Here we find out a lot more about what it means to be born of God's Spirit. "No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." This is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, he said, "We know that no one who is born of God sins. But he," again speaking of Jesus, "who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." Well, I'm about out of time now, but if you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's program, which is Living in Christ, number 117, you can call me at 501-316-0136, or you can mail me at this address, 3753 Quail, as in bird, Quail, Quail Lane, Benton, Arkansas, 72019, and request program number 117, or check our website where you can find, this is www.communitychurchofgod.com, and on that you can find all our programs and you can download whatever of them you would like. But again, if you'd like to receive a free CD copy of today's program, number 117, again, you can call me at 501-316-0136, or you can mail me at this address, 3753 Quail Lane, Benton, Arkansas, 72019, and request program number 117, or you can check our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. So we appreciate your joining us today. We hope you can be with us again next week as we continue our study of what it means to be saved from death and to live the new eternal spirit life God has given us in Christ Jesus.